Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. In a little bit early, I want to make sure that a particular link that I want to use works. I've never done this share screen. Actually, I think I might have tried quite a long time ago, and it seemed like individuals couldn't hear. And I wanted to discuss a couple other things. And I wanted to check. I was looking as I was sitting here, and I wanted to look at a couple of questions. You can tell this morning, my son does not have school. They gave them 1 day off before this is finals week. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So they have Tuesday off. So yay, I got to have a little reprieve. Now, I say yay. I love, you know, caring for him in the mornings and doing the chocolate chip pancake thing. Love it, love it, love it. And I know someday we will all look back on that. But it's nice to have a little bit of a break and not be so rushed in the morning. So appreciate all of you always for when I get on a little late. So anyway, I wanted to discuss just a couple of things with you. First of all, there was a question that I saw going through from Mike, and I really liked this question. It said, the FBI went to El Charro restaurant 2 times during the case. The FBI also got a warrant signed by the U.S. attorney for Luke Daly's mother's house. We need to find the link. Okay, so I think I can explain this. So first of all, with Luke Daly, the first set of warrants that went out for Carlos, recall that that was done by a state judge. And then later, recall that the all the warrants were signed in the Daly case by a federal judge. So what happened? To me, I saw that as a really big shift. Recall that Sheriff Nanos has said, and we're going to review that again today, that anything to do with ransom notes, anything to do with the federal side of the case, which is what he considers the ransom notes, the non-boots on the ground, that is being handled as the lead by the Bureau. That's what Sheriff Nanos says. And so he's handling essentially the leads that are the boots on the ground investigation. But my understanding is it's crystal clear, and he talks about that in what we're going to discuss, that this is really a task force case. At this point, it's in the FBI building run by the Safe Streets Task Force. That's who's pretty much handling. But to be clear, unless it is proven that Nancy Guthrie crossed state lines, or that the perpetrator crossed state lines to commit this crime, or that it's, like I suspect, perhaps some sort of wrench attack or attack by a group that is sophisticated, and mope is more of a mope, you know, somebody doing the crime on their behalf. Unless all of that is proven, or they went across international lines, the venue is squarely in Pima County. And Sheriff Nanos knows that. This is no surprise. In all of these cases, where the crime occurred is where venue lies, meaning where it can be adjudicated, meaning where this is going to go to trial when somebody is caught. So if this is all ends up being Tucson local, nobody was guiding him from afar. And even if that ends up being the case, I still think Pima County may end up solely adjudicating this case. If there's any crossing of lines, you can look for, like we saw in the Luigi Mangione case, the Bureau to try to step in and ask for the case and ask to handle the case. And you never know. It could be possible that Sheriff Nanos would relinquish and the prosecutor's office would relinquish their venue. But no matter what, they have venue. The only question is whether somebody is going to step in, meaning the federal government, and decide to also prosecute the case. Now, I said a lot and didn't get to your answer because I wanted to make it clear that the U.S. Attorney's Office, how the process works. So I need to get a federal warrant because I believe I have probable cause that I need to go in someplace and work and look and search. What do I do as a case agent? There's so many prongs to this. First of all, I have to sit down and write a probable cause statement. And this probable cause statement is something that you can back every sentence you make, backed up by an articulable fact. For instance, who lives there? You need to show their property. You need to be able to backstop that with property records, telephone records, you know, records that line up with who was there. And you go through and you say, what is your probable cause that there's going to be indicia of a crime there, that Nancy Guthrie is there, that this person is porch guy? You are going to have to list everything. And again, it's you're not going beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a whole different level where you can have no doubt. This is strictly probable cause. And the word probable is huge. Remember, there's also a lower level that's called reasonable suspicion that I've talked a lot about here. In law enforcement, we use that all the time. You could, if you have reasonable suspicion to believe criminal activity is afoot, you can stop someone. You can detain someone. To be clear, that is the different levels of what you need. In this case, just probable cause. In other words, it's probably true that you're going to find something. Okay. So then you go to the U.S. Attorney's Office and you say, here's my probable cause. And they're going to read it over and they're going to either say, this meets the legal standard or it doesn't. You need to go back and put more probable cause if you have it. And if you don't have it, this isn't going to meet the standard. In this case, obviously, they got to the point where it met the standard. Then what do? You take your probable cause, or I'm sorry, you take your statement, you take your warrant, you take, you know, meaning your search warrant, and you go to the home of a, if it's after hours, to the home of a federal magistrate. If not, if it's work hours, you go to their office and you meet with them. And sometimes they're out to lunch. Sometimes you need this so quickly, but they track them down and you get a hold of them. I've been in many bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, all sorts of different places, getting the federal magistrate to look over my probable cause affidavit and sign my warrant. So there you are. Now you have it. Now you're there. But in the background, which you've also done, and in this case, there's so many people assigned to it, you have other people assigned to the case that you've already lined out. Listen, this is my tactical team. This is my arrest team. This is going to be the ERT team that's going to handle this, and so on. And if you're in an urgent situation, which has happened, I'll just call back to my team leader as the case agent, and I'll say, hey, listen, we've got the go. And prior to all of that, you have already made an operations plan, which is what we call a SMEAC, your situation, your mission, your execution, your administration, and your comms. You have this all written out in this grandiose plan. Now, of course, this is when you have time. And in this situation, they would have had that. And they would have had plenty of people, somebody to do the SMEAC, somebody to be the team lead on the actual search, and somebody to be the team lead on the actual execution of getting in, which would normally be your tactical team leader. So you have all these components. It's actually really quite complicated and involved, and you have many, many people involved. But that's how this goes down. And it's really a big division of power, or not a power, division of labor. You know, you can, even as the case agent, maybe I want to be on scene and I want to make sure that all goes well. I will have a another person go and get that warrant signed. And you can use, if you want to call it hearsay, in other words, I can say Special Agent Coffendaffer, well, let me do it another way. Special Agent Stella told me XYZ. I looked at, you know, in other words, you can use the information that you receive from the case agent in your affidavit. You're just swearing that that's what you know. That's the information you know, and that's where you got it from. So again, I'm belaboring this point, but we had a little bit of time before we started because I want to get to this question. So you had a separate, in my opinion, set of probable cause that led to serving Daly, his mother, seizing the car. Remember, Daly's a doper. He was recently found with fentanyl and a gun. He has prior drug convictions. He's ran before. This is not a choir boy. So that in a line, I think, with what probably a tipster called in and said they think it's him because he left on this day. He looks just like Porch Guy. Check this out. Can you imagine if the Bureau and Pima County didn't follow up on that post haste? And this was the guy who had her, that he, you know, that he decided to do a kidnapping as a part of his, you know, to get money for his criminal enterprise. I'm just saying that you can see, I think, that he had the kind of requisite background. And then I'm sure there were other different factors that the tipster, this is how I believe it happened. We're going to find out that how I believe he got on the radar. So I think that's totally separate. Now let's talk about why they went to El Charro. And I talked about this earlier. I think I even did a tweet on this. Any FBI and Pima County officers worth their salt are going to follow up on every place Nancy Guthrie went and frequented. They would have gone to where she gets her nails done. Where does she get her hair done? Where does she prefer to eat when she goes out? She lived there 50 years. Can you imagine all the places, y'all, that she's associated with? Why is it important? Because if people believe the premise that she wronged somebody, she ticked somebody off, she disrespected somebody. In other words, it's not what she did or didn't do. It's how that person perceives that. Or if Savannah did at some point, and it's a long harbored, you know, hate, such as in the Tepe case, where years went by, and that hate built up until finally it reached a boiling point, and he went in and murdered the person he was angry with and the spouse that he also likely hated, right? That's just one example of these sort of you know, resentment. So if you are to believe, and some people do, that this is a resentment case, for instance, a person who believes that is who I very much respect. We've had her on the show at least 3 or 4 times. And Mac very much believes this is that type of a case. So as an investigative unit, those are the types of things you're going to be checking. And quite frankly, that could be some of the stuff that Savannah Guthrie's $500,000, if we were to believe that amount, what they could also be looking into, and why you don't see them searching around or doing canvases, but they're looking at other possible avenues, other possible people that Nancy Guthrie knew that might be willing to cooperate with their private investigation. Because I can assure you that law enforcement is checking into all those avenues. So I believe that they're not connected, but part of a bigger picture and plan to make sure everything's investigated. Okay. And NJS, thank you for that kind comment. All right. We are going. Mike says he had strawberry Belgian waffles and scrambled eggs and bacon. Oh, my gosh, that sounds fabulous. So my son is one of these sons. I'll just quickly detour because I know we're here for true crime. But he's one of these guys that likes the same thing every time. Like when he likes something, he just wants it over and over and over again, which is kind of funny. Maybe we're all a little bit like that. This is what I drink every morning. Geez, I should get them to endorse me. I've kind of turned down or messed up all my endorsements by hating to take a break and then talk about some product. I think it, I know that it's good for the show and I should do it. And there's one I'm looking into now where they've contacted me that I may end up doing, but I don't know. I just think it's such a break in it from the show. And I really don't, I think that that shows that one's intentions are more about money than about advocacy and working to understand these crimes. So I don't know, for some reason I couldn't get it all to line up, which I'm not trying to say anything about all the people who use all of that. That's all fine. Here we go. I want to see if I can do the share screen and see if we can make this come up. Okay, I'm getting to the bottom of the, and yes, Christine, these mods are amazing. I you know, I've been on a lot of different shows and I think there's a lot of great mods out there, but I love how the mods engage and keep everybody informed about different things our channel is doing. And they're just so there for the show. All right, here we go. Let's hope this works. I'm going to try to make this work. Here we go. Share screen. Go to here. I practiced this many times. And so I'm hoping this works. The bad part is I've got to figure out how to make this smaller so that I can, let me see if I can make it smaller here. Nope. Because if not, I can't see you all to figure out whether you can hear me or not. Oh, sorry, guys. Just going to take a minute anytime there's something new. Okay, let me know, can you hear me or not? I'm looking to see if you guys can see my screen. Jen, what are they doing? Oh boy, I am worried you guys aren't able to see my screen. I don't think you guys can hear me even. Okay, good. Christine says she can hear me. All right. Can you, what do you see up on the screen? Do you see Sheriff Nanos on the screen? This is so funny how delayed it is. Like I'll say something and then later the chat comes in. Can you see me or can you actually see Sheriff Nanos that I have shared up there? Let's see. No Nanos. Whew. All right. I'm going to try something else. So you can hear and see me and you can't see Nanos. That's not good. I really thought I had this down. I gave it a practice, but I can't see it from your end. So I'm going to put select tab to share and apologize that you guys are going to have to deal with this while I work this out. This is our test show. All right. And we might just have to go over what he said if you cannot see the screen. I can't even get the screen to be smaller. Let's see, here we go. Can you all see this? To share, okay. I'm going to share. Share. All right, excellent. I think I have it figured out. Oh my gosh. All right, here we go. He's on here. We're shared. Woo! All right, here we go. I know you're going to be able to hear it now. Let's see if we can get this to play now. Oh, of course. All right, guys, stand by. All right, it's looking good, only I can't get it to play. So that's not good. I like that you can see the image, but I'm not getting it to play. Why isn't that? Oh, you guys. I tell you what, I'm frustrated and I appreciate the patience. We got it up here, but we can't get it to play. Ask Google AI. I hate to do that to y'all. Listen, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I'm going to try to play this and go over it, hoping that you can hear it. Because I think it's really important to go over what Sheriff Nanos has to say. It just came out, and it's really important, I think, because there's new things. All right, here we go. I'm hoping you guys will be able to hear this. I'm going to put it right up next to the speaker.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Investigation and the chances of you all being able to find Nancy Guthrie.
Okay, the question is, how are you feeling about the investigation? And what do you think in terms of being able to find Nancy Guthrie? Here's his answer. Let me know if you can hear it. If not, I'll repeat it.
Well, you know, these cases are difficult. It's not just this case. A number of our cases come to us where it requires a lot of work from other people. It's not just a detective goes out there, talks to somebody, and we can make an arrest. This is a very sensitive case, but what really makes it prolonged is we do rely on labs for the digital part of this case, which is very critical. Labs for our DNA, which is also very critical. But when you're looking at those labs and the work they do, you have a science there, and science has rules that it has to go by. Even though it's not DNA, they'll tell you is in an exact science, it's 99% plus. So it's pretty close, but you still have to follow rules. They have protocols, because you don't want to jeopardize not just the integrity of this case, but the integrity of DNA as a supplement to law enforcement work. And to be honest, take it to the other side, the criminal justice process. We have rules we have to go by too. Constitution, laws, things of that nature, rules of the court, those all guide us. And so if I were to say there's a positive to this, it is that people are working, doing their best to stay within those rules so that they have that understanding that, look, nobody wants to arrest the wrong person. We want to make sure that DNA doesn't just identify a suspect. It also exonerates those who are innocent. So it's a tedious process. We get that. And especially when you add in all the other complexities of one DNA on top of another and the separation of that. And it's just it moves at a snail's pace, I guess, for some. But for my investigative team and for me, we look at this as, no, this is doing exactly what we needed to do, and that is keep looking, keep working, use the technology, work well with our other teams and partners, the FBI, our DPS, the labs across the country. There's several labs working on this. I feel comfortable knowing that We have some of the brightest minds out there working on both forms of evidence, whether it's the digital and the cameras and what that shows us, as well as the DNA and biological evidence.
Definitely. So, I mean,
okay, that was 2 minutes and 56 seconds of a lot of jabber and really, in my opinion, not answering the question. It's really very interesting that, and thank you for being here, Adrian, all the way from Scotland. Remember McConaughey, my mom's maiden, I should say, my mom who adopted me. Anyway, a lot of jabbering. I'm so glad you can hear this. We're going to have this stuck still screen due to the fact that the video isn't playing, but I'm able to play it here and put it up so you can hear. So, I mean, the question just wasn't answered. What he does say is that he basically diverts, but I think this is important and why I wanted you to hear this. And this is a long interview, so folks, we're going to go through it all. This is important how he answers it, I think, because when he answers it, he's talking all about DNA and this is the process and our investigators are investigating and all of this, right? But he's not saying about his confidence level. He's not saying about where they are really at in the investigation. He's just saying it's taking a long time. So why do I find that important? I find that important because it is word salad and I don't think they have anything. I really don't think they have anything. And that's why he's saying he's really providing the excuses for why they don't have anything. And I don't want to call them excuses. I should also call them explanations, right? He's explaining why they don't have anything. Investigations take long, blah, 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 blah. But to think he answered this question, I just would have rather him say, listen, I don't have an answer for you. DNA is taking a long time. This is taking a long time. We don't have the leads we need so far. But you can see it's political, you know, how he says it. It's word salad. Okay, we're going to move on. Again, everybody is telling me they can hear this. I'm going to turn it up as loud as I can on my end, and we're going to continue on.
I mean, that was kind of my next question, was talking about the DNA, because that has been a big topic lately of discussion. Obviously, you kind of went into having to go through the different, you know, DNA that was found. That was something that you talked about very early on, you know, from inside of Nancy Guthrie's house. So when it comes to where they're at now, are they still trying to, I mean, is there anything that you can share if they're still trying to separate the different DNA or if they're just, you know,
Okay, so she basically says, all right, we know you have DNA, but where are we at with the DNA? Are they trying to separate it? This is what he answers.
I think what I can share with you is this. The labs are working with labs all across the country.
The labs are working with labs all across the country, which we have known that since day 80, by the way. Five labs were mentioned by ABC News. I believe that includes Quantico all across the country, because recall, some labs have greater technology advancements than others. There's one in California that actually worked well with solving the Rex Heuermann case, that genetic genealogy case. And again, Friday, look for us, 10 o'clock. I'm going to have another genetic genealogy expert on that isn't from, you know, that's actually... I'm hoping, I've got to pre-interview him because the person I had, she wanted her supervisor to do it. So I think we're going to hear a lot on Friday about these different labs. That's what I really want them to concentrate on. And you're exactly right, Seagate. The lab in Florida couldn't get it done. They sent it up to Quantico. And then I believe it's been distributed to other labs as well. Okay, going on with Sheriff Nanos.
They like any science, you know, they consult and they're working close with the investigators, my team, the FBI, and I think they're making progress. But
I always think it's funny when he says, sorry, I'm going to keep commenting because I'm bringing up the more important things. I think it's very interesting that he says my team and the FBI. I just think that's very interesting. You know, this is what I'm used to hearing being on task forces for all of these years. We. It was never my team plus the FBI. Even though I was an FBI agent embedded with the gang unit, when we spoke and we had public announcements and we had a huge case that was went very public, huge press conference. That was one of the only times I've been in front of the camera for, you know, I was always a behind the scene worker to just discuss that case. But it's we did it. So that was just something that struck me. Okay. And again, I'm not bagging on Nanos. I'm just trying to say I find this curious at best.
But like I say, I don't have the expertise to talk about how that works, but I would just say we know the experts do. And
okay. And I think that's great that he says, just like any investigator should say, and that is, hey, listen, I am not a blood spatter expert. Have I seen blood spatter at the crime scenes? And yes, do I recognize different patterns? I can tell when somebody's been hit and it spatters. I can see what we call basically where you find voids in the spatter. So you can figure out where the shadowing was, where their head was, where something else must have been because the blood goes around it. Can you typically tell the fine mist of expirated blood versus blood droplets and how a blood droplet will make the little spattering pattern all around it? Yes, but we're not blood spatter experts. Those people are in the lab. They sit behind a microscope. They analyze spatter to see what other things might be in it, such as mucus. And they are the experts at understanding these patterns. And I still have never seen a lab blood spatter expert talk about this case. And I think if they did, they would say, listen, I can't see it under the microscope, but this is sort of what I'm seeing. So I do appreciate the fact that Nano said what any good investigator will say, or sheriff, you've got to say, listen, I'm not a DNA expert. And that's why, as an example, on this show, I will always pull the experts in the different departments up, because FBI agents become a little bit like, you know, what is that saying? Masters of none. You do a lot of things, but your mastery is typically in the investigative side, not in the DNA side, as an example. So that's why we're going to have another DNA expert on. And he says here, listen, I don't understand it. I don't understand the separation. We were able to understand the separation because we had Dr. Fitzpatrick on, who very strictly said, we cannot separate beyond two profiles. Yeah, that's it. Jack of all trades, master of none, right? Because we see stuff over and over, but we don't master DNA. We don't master blood spatter. So anyway, I appreciated that he didn't try to say he is some DNA expert. Here we go.
They are working hard to get this case resolved. And I think every day they get closer, but
okay, he says every day they get closer. And we've heard this a lot. We saw a take where actually Fox News was in the parking lot and kind of cornered him. And he had that lovely accent, which I actually thought was Jackson from TMZ because they sounded so much alike. I told Jackson that the other day. I'm like, Jackson, there's another guy who has your doppelganger voice. But nevertheless, people, I think, take those words and misconstrue. Of course, anytime you are working toward an end, which is trying to figure out the hair, the genetic genealogy, you're getting closer. But to me, that shouldn't be misconstrued as, boy, we're close. It's going to be tomorrow. This is way down the line when it comes to that DNA. Okay, here we go.
It's a science, and there are rules that the science must take and follow, as well as there's rules of evidence and rules of court that we need to stay as guardrails. Keep you focused, but keep you on track so you do a very solid investigation.
Absolutely.
Okay, so he's basically saying, listen, we've got to stick with the law and make sure we do this investigation legally, and that is what can slow us down. Okay, I think that's just a little weird. Everyone knows that he has to perform within the law. And I saw that as sort of a weird side note. Sorry, that's just me. I just felt like they're just diversionary words that he's using to say the reason we're going slower is because we have to abide by the law. In every case, you have to abide by the law. It doesn't make things slower. It's abiding by the law. You have to get the warrant. So I guess if he's trying to explain that you have to take all these measures and these measures take time, totally understand that point. But when he's talking about DNA, I'm not 100% sure how he's equating that, other than as they work on the IgG aspect of that, they're going to have to be doing warrants for IgG databases pertaining possibly once they have an IgG profile. I think that's what he's referring to. Is it me, or do I always feel like when I'm evaluating what he's saying, it's almost like he's speaking in a language that I sort of know, but sort of don't know, you know, kind of like, oh, I got to listen close. And then I got to sort of evaluate it. It's frustrating. But nevertheless, again, I'm not here to bag on Nanos. I'm playing his words so you can all hear them. But I do have some reflections on some of the points he's trying to make.
You obviously had also mentioned, you know, the digital side of going through all of those cameras. We heard about that very early on in this investigation as well. Obviously, tips also were a huge thing. The tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of tips between PCSD and the FBI.
Hundreds of thousands of tips. Whoa, 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 whoa. Why does this number keep getting higher depending on who's reporting on it? I've heard 50,000, I've heard 10, I've heard 20. I've never heard hundreds of thousands. I swear, I always feel like every time I listen to one of these interviews from both sides of the aisle, I feel like I am literally watching the telephone game. Now we've gone to hundreds of thousands of tips. Is that accurate? Sheriff Nanos right here needs to say, let me be clear. They're not hundreds of thousands, because he knows the precise number, because it goes into an FBI database and that actually spews out the triage it, most important, not as important, blah, 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 blah. And this needs to be hammered out so that now you don't have this spinning. And now media is saying hundreds of thousands, because I got to tell you, if you were talking hundreds of thousands, this case, they're never going to get through those. And inside one of those hundreds of thousands could be the tip, even inside of 50,000. Just, and I always say this, write a to-do list for today and put 8 things down and see if you can get them done. It's going to be so hard to get them done, even though they have force multipliers of multiple people. So anyway, hi, Perth, Australia. I saw that come up. Here we go.
FBI that you all have gotten. The last time that you and I spoke, you kind of talked about that, you know, you really had to weed out those tips and kind of, you know, hold on to them. Is it kind of trying to find both, you know, with the DNA and then also maybe the digital forensics or the tips that you have to, you know, kind of piece that all together? Are there tips that you guys are just holding on to, tips still going through?
Well, first of all, we're still taking tips. We want those calls. We want, if you see something or you know something or you hear something, we need you to call us. We know somebody out there knows what happened here. We need those calls. But in the same sense, we still make a push for it if you've got video. And you know, I know we're 100 days beyond, but maybe you saw something the last week that concerned you. And if you've got a video that was just didn't, what you're seeing didn't set well, call us. we'll take a look at it and we'll keep it. And we're what we really are doing with the thousands of video.
Okay. Now, and I talked at length with Mac about this, and we both completely agree. Cheryl McCollum, Mac, Zone 7. Been decades in crime scene, decades working crime scene, and we both agreed. You don't have to look at hundreds of thousands of vehicles. You don't have to do it. This happened 228, the disconnection. So likely outside of the bricks. From my research, sometimes it can be within just a couple of feet that it will disconnect from the phone / Apple Watch, but for sure at the brick. That's a definite disconnection. So let's just take it from 220, just to be safe. Well, 225 to be safe in case there's some sort of lapse or, you know, that they were outside of the house, in other words, longer. So say 220. From 220 in the morning in these desolate, desolate roads, everyone, how many cars do you think are out there at 220? It's not that many. Mac and I cut this up. Look, you've got to take the choke points to get in and out of that neighborhood. And you watch every car, every vehicle from 220 to say 9 o'clock, just in case they stopped within that neighborhood for some reason. I mean, that's totally on the outside of what I think happened, but just in the abundance of caution, 220 to 9. That, and then after that, you follow the different paths that could have left from that house. And you look at all of the camera video image of everybody on those possible routes. That is what you are looking at. This isn't hundreds of thousands of cars, everyone. It's just really, really, really not. And then, how about this piece? 147, that's when he yanks that Nest camera off. After he can finally get a hold of it because his gloves are too big and he needs the ivy to really grip it. And then that ivy gets lodged between the camera and the holder because he pulls it so hard using that ivy with both hands. Right? So if you think about all of this, that's another time frame I would be looking at. And again, these roads are desolate at this time. So getting into that neighborhood, I want to be looking at, I literally would probably start at about 10 p.m. and check my choke points from 10 p.m. clear up until that time. I want to check that. So is that a lot of cars, perhaps? It's not hundreds of thousands and it's not tens of thousands, everyone. It's just not. So I see this as so much exaggeration to explain the issues they're dealing with. They have to get a car outlined, even if all they can see, they can't recognize the vehicle, but even if they can just see, like in Koberger, those lights whizzing by. Even that, how many lights are whizzing by at this time of night? It's just not going to be that many. And then you follow those whizzing lights, right? You follow it. What's the next camera they hit? The next camera and the next camera. That's how you do a case like this. Okay. Here we go.
No images, we catalog them. Today, we may have a video that involved a red car, and last week it was a blue truck, or all of those things we catalog so that when we do identify a suspect, we can sit down and say, well, this individual owns a green Toyota station wagon, whatever it may be. And now we can go to all those thousands of videos and look up just green SUVs, station wagons, and maybe we can match it. So,
absolutely. So it just all came.
It's connecting all the pieces.
Absolutely. And I know.
So Mike says on Cash Patel, if there was a car or vehicle. Now, I agree with you when it comes to the Google camera video, right? They're the ones, the Bureau is the one that got that with Google. And I'm going to do a separate show on that because, you know, we talked about a couple of days ago, the first time anybody has talked about that black band that's around his left arm. That's the first time anybody's talked about it. And I'm not saying that to say, woo, we found the black band. I'm just trying to say that it's important to keep going back and looking for all of these details, because the more people looking, the more may possibly be found. And for me, another thing that has really jumped out in looking at this vehicle, looking at this footage more times than I care to admit, that I see a car outline. I really do. I'm just waiting. I will not enhance. I'm going to use directly stills of what Cash Patel put out. That's the best that we have right now. And I did a whole show yesterday on the problem and the downfall of trying to use different programs to identify different things. The Bureau's done it, and they need to release it. That's my opinion. They've done it and they need to release it. And I'm disappointed in the Bureau on a lot of fronts, and maybe they're disappointed with me. I love the Bureau, but I'm disappointed in whoever is making the decisions early on, especially, and continuing, unless they know who Porch Guy is and they're just putting together a case, which doesn't seem to be the case. Porch Guy should be on all of those banners. The roadside signs, it also needs to be in Spanish. And so, you know, I don't know when they're going to fix that. Like I said, the only thing could be if they already know. Other than that, there is absolutely no reason not to have that out there. And there's absolutely no reason not to have the FBI enhanced videos that we know we can count on for a surety that they are done right, that the colors are right, that the outlines are right, that the more focus on the mouth, all of that should be out. And Quinley121, thank you so much. Yes, the mods are absolutely amazing. Okay, continuing on with the facts of Sheriff Nano's comments, meaning it's a fact he said all these things.
Also early on in the investigation, just, you know, I'm trying to look at this, you know, as a whole over the 100 days, that, you know, you all had worked closely, of course, with the Guthrie family. Is that a continuing?
Day one, we work.
Okay, this is so kind of cunning of this investigator, or of this reporter. She says, you know, you guys have all worked so closely and blah, blah, blah. Because she knows that Sheriff Nano said just a short time ago that he's not talking with the Guthries anymore, that now the Guthries are communicating with the FBI. So she's trying to get him. This is pretty cunning of her, because unless she just doesn't know the answer, which I can't believe that. But she's asking him again, are you still working with the Guthries? Now listen to his answer. This was another thing I was like, dude, oh.
Worked with the Guthrie family, but we also worked day one with the FBI.
Day one with the FBI. Remember, how he is justifying that statement is Pima County has a sheriff's officer on the Joint Terrorism Task Force and has for a very long time. They knew about this case, and he kind of get into it a little bit. But basically what he is trying to say is because of that, we count that as communicating with the FBI because that's a TFO, task force officer, that's sworn over there. So that's what he means by involvement with the FBI. I'm sorry, I don't count that. I count when you allow the FBI to investigate and work, you invite them into the case, the FBI opens up, can I go back into my memory? I want to say a 62, and you open that up. And that way you can work that. But nevertheless, that's why he's able to, I guess, get away with this statement he's making. Okay, here we go.
continue to. You know,
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'll let politicians be politicians. All we want to do is solve the case. That's our job. The sheriff's department here is here to solve a case. All the rhetoric and the white noise, we just stay out of it. We just put our head down and do the job.
Absolutely. And wanting to just do the job.
So he talks about how the rhetoric and the white noise, and listen, I do get that. I think that it's true in this case. And I kind of touched on it early on. If you look back as I followed the case, especially early on, I really wasn't into the whole going after Nanos. I just wasn't, because I did feel like that was, let's try to stay on point with the facts. But the problem is the mistakes made early on. And I know people can look at that and say, Jen, that's just an excuse for the FBI to say why they can't solve it, right? That they're blaming that on Pima County, that that's what Cash Patel is doing, is this is why we can't solve this case, because the early on mistakes. And I do agree that there were a lot of early on mistakes that had negative impact on the case, particularly the crime scene. But again, there were some made by the FBI. Remember how long it took the FBI to notice that there were cameras up on the roof and to go up and get them? Remember the fourth search? There were four searches in this case. You can only have one if you do this right. And then you cordon it off. Right? You cordon it off in case you miss something. In case you find, look, let me give you a perfect example of this. Two perfect examples. One, in the Rex Hureman case, that's the Long Island serial killer, Gilgo Beach killer, the guy that murdered for years. He's admitted to 8. I have given an estimate of 30 over the years that he killed across the country. I don't know whether I'm going to be wrong or right, but he's admitted to 8. They had to go back and get a new search warrant and go in later, because in the first one, even though they did an impressive job, I mean, they had backhoes in there and were doing everything, they missed the kill room. They had to go back and find more evidence. That's why, A, you don't tear down an Idaho forehouse, and that's why, B, you don't release a crime scene too early. In that case, I really do think, I mean, they spent so long there and they did an incredible job. This job was done in such a short period of time. And you only have one bite at the apple. And the number of people that were in and out of there was a hot mess. Nevertheless, we're going to continue to listen what he has to say, because Sheriff Nanos, A, has knowledge, B, has authority, and C, he's willing to talk. So we got to listen to him, and we'll just see if what he says makes sense to us. Going on.
Word cold case continues to be floated around with this investigation. You've been asked about it, and you have already talked about, obviously, that you even have investigators that their sole purpose is to continue to look into cold cases.
Absolutely.
How do you see this investigation? Do you see it as cold yet or not?
No, absolutely not. There's way too much work.
Couldn't agree with him more on this. There's a difference between cold and a case with no pointer, right? I'm going to distinguish it that way. When a case is cold, literally you don't have one lead to look at. You don't have any DNA. You don't have any video. You don't have a video of porch guy. You don't have anything to move forward on, no interviews to do. And you literally take that case, you back shelve it. it someday gets picked up, dusted off by a cold case squad, and it's absolutely ice cold. I truly believe Sebastian Rogers' case is like that. I don't think there's anybody actively working that. Summer Wells is another. There's no actively working. If somebody calls in and gives a tip, they might add it to the file. But it's the importance of understanding from a law enforcement perspective. This case is not only cold, not cold, it's red hot. It's coals of red hotness. That's what this case is. Because there's so much to do. Now, if you're talking about a pointer, meaning you have direct evidence that is pointing you in the direction of a subject or to what happened to Nancy or to where Nancy is, that's a whole different deal. So I agree with Sheriff Nanos on this point.
That is ongoing with some of the physical evidence we have. And we're not going to give up on it just because it's been 100 days. We continue to work with our labs, whether it's on the digital end or the biological end, DNA, and we'll continue to do that. We continue to work with the FBI, and we continue to work with DPS in several labs across the country to get some resolution on this case.
Over the last few years that I've spoken with you on different cases, even, you have always talked about maintaining the integrity of the investigation, whatever it is. And you have definitely mentioned it with this specific investigation. Is there any information that you all have that you are not sharing for the sake of the integrity of the investigation?
Well, I think in every case we do that. But it is.
Okay. I agree with this too. You have to hold back information on a case, because this is the problem. You have somebody come in, say, and they have very specific information. And if you let everything out about what color pajamas she had on, the details of why the two doors were open, any details they might have about blood or other evidence that was in the house, any of these very specific details, then you give way to not understanding whether somebody's coming to you with a tip that they know from their personal knowledge, or whether they come to you with a tip with knowledge they know from the media or what they've seen on social media. So you have to be very careful to keep back the really important details of this investigation. Is critical.
Really about, you know, securing the rights of all of those to include the accused. And we just, you know, I've been doing this for almost 50 years now. We don't try our cases in the public media forum. We just don't. Everybody has a right to a fair trial. And so I believe at some point in time, we will make an arrest on this case, and whoever that individual is, that individual will have a right to a fair and partial trial. And that starts with my team on the ground, how they handle every piece of evidence going forward.
Why say my team on the ground? That is going to be handled by this joint task force we have working in conjunction with one another to get to the facts and to find a suspect. That's the proper answer, Sheriff Nanos. This isn't your team. This is a group of dedicated law enforcement, including the FBI, including Pima County Sheriff's officers. These are the types of comments he makes that I think give a lot of us consternation, because it does not show a unity. And that's why people are all saying this case is not united. It's because of how he words all this. All right, moving on.
Forward. And so I know there's a lot of white noise out there, but I'll just say this. My team's done this for decades, and they've always been successful. We'll get there.
And I will say this about the Pima County homicide unit. They have done a fabulous job on other cases. I think they've had 12, something like that. I don't know. Robin Dreek gave those numbers. I love Robin. If you don't watch Hidden True Crime, they're really good. Like they have Bob Mata on. I think he's on, I don't know whether it's Mondays or he's on one day a week. I know I'm on Fridays. And, but Robin is great. He has recently joined the show. He's retired FBI 20 years. Prior to that, he went to the Naval Academy. He's an amazing guy, but he's a stats guy. And the reason you pull stats is not to say there aren't outliers, but whenever you're trying to understand Occam's razor, you're trying to understand a case, you're trying to understand how things happen in a case, and from using what's happened in the past, he has great stats. And so he pointed out that Pima County has a very good rate of solving homicides. They have very few, but of those, they've been able to homicide or are able to solve those homicides. So he did point out that they do have a good record compared to a lot of other agencies. So let's give credit where that is due.
Absolutely. As you brought up, the work between PCSD and the FBI, but you have continued to say from the get-go, when you got there, I believe you said that the FBI was even there before you got there.
Yeah. The FBI has a task force that we've been members of for decades, and that task force works in their office, works under their supervision, and yet we understand that our task force officer, though is a deputy, she in this case works for the FBI.
This was one of the most interesting thing he said. Did you catch it? This case is being supervised by the FBI on this task force. And then he talks about only one Pima County Sheriff's officer that's a female that's on that task force. I was surprised when I heard that. Maybe I misheard it. I've listened to this several times. He talks about this one female officer. Does that mean he only has one Pima County Sheriff officer that's currently on this task force that's working this case? Let's go on.
All right, so when we called out, when these things...
Okay, this is where he gets all tangled up, because he somehow is going back to why he stated the FBI was involved from day one. And then he reverts back to talking about this one Pima County officer on this task force, and he gets completely upside down. And then he just starts all over, because he's trying to explain that by involving her or reaching out to her and letting her know that that was the involvement of the FBI. So this is where it is right here.
This happened. When a case happens, patrolman gets to the scene. He assesses it. It's a missing person. So what do? We contact our missing persons people. Where's missing persons lie in this department? In our homicide section. So they contacted the homicide sergeant. They also contacted search and rescue, which is another area of this department that is used to do what? Search for those missing. So both areas, and I think I said this early on, you know, somebody said, well, why didn't you transition from this to this, or you didn't transition soon enough? There was no transition. Both areas, whether it be homicide or in this case, search and rescue, they both went out. They both handled it. In that regard, our homicide sergeant, he's in charge of the investigation. He decides what resources should be called in. Not the sheriff, not even his captain. He has the authority and ability to look at a scene and say, you know.
And I agree with what he's saying here, meaning, I'm telling you what, when you're a case agent, and in this case, when you're a detective that's in charge of a scene, I'm not calling my boss. I'm taking care of business. I'm saying, cordon this off, rope this off. Nobody in here. This is how you have to walk through. if you even have a necessity to be in here. This is what we're going to do. This is who's going to handle the canvassing. These are our canvas questions. This is the organization of it all. We're going to map it all up. We've got to get that crime scene, or we've got to get a CP stood up. Blah, 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 blah. I could go on forever. But my point is I agree with him. Nobody's sending this up to Sheriff Nanos. These guys on scene are making the calls. On big things, they will reach out. But I totally blame the six-month investigative experience detective who released that scene. But at the end of the day, just like whoever's the president is held responsible about what happens with our country. If you're a CEO, you get fired because of things that happen below you. If I'm a case agent and I don't solve the case or it goes to crap, and I, you know, you have another case agent. There are, when you're in charge, there are consequences if you don't do a good job. And he's being held responsible. But I agree with him that it really was the people on scene making those decisions, not him. And that's why he fumbles so many questions, because he really doesn't know. That's why he said he was out there Saturday night when he wasn't out there. He did go out there Sunday night. He wasn't out there Saturday night. He fumbles all of that because he's not there. He's not living it. When you live these cases, you know them. When you hear about these cases, you don't know them as well.
And what I think I need forensics. I think I need blood work. I think I need DNA work. I think I could use the FBI. And so when he calls the task force officer, our liaison to the FBI, he calls that individual detective, says, I need your assistance here. Come out. She did. She was there before I got there. I didn't know it that night, but I knew she was there. That very next morning, we're in touch with the FBI. Look, day one, I hear all the...
See? And then the next day, we call the FBI. I mean, I'm just like, wait a minute. Was it on day one? Because you already said day one. And then he catches himself again. Oh, shoot. And then he says the next day.
Point noise about this? I can only tell you, day one, the FBI was involved in this case, and they continue to be involved in this case every single day. We have briefings with them at their office every morning to discuss where we're at in each part of the case. This morning, I already got a briefing. You asked, are there things I know that? Yes, absolutely there are. But it's not done because we got to keep it secret. It's done because we got to protect our case.
Absolutely. This question might be not really for you, so I understand if not, but just those, you know, the ransom notes, do you know if those are still being looked into? I know that you said those were handed over to the FBI.
That's all the work for the FBI.
Okay, this is the at least second, if not third time that I've heard him say this. When it comes to the two ransom notes and others, because I will still say, even though they say that the first two notes and Savannah has said, and you can tell by their actions, they believe are legitimate, those other notes are still relevant until they can figure out who sent them all in. You cannot say that they're not related until you know the origins of both. You just can't. So we'll see what they determine. But right now, they haven't determined anyway. And Nanos has said the Bureau is handling that piece of it, the ransom piece of it.
I know that they have all of that, and they share that information with my team, and we'll leave it there.
Okay, definitely. Well, those were all of my questions. Is there anything else that you want to say?
No, just that, like I say, the Sheriff's Department is committed to one thing and one thing only.
No, nothing I want to say other than he's just so funny. He just, honestly, he just needs lessons on public speaking. And believe me, we all mess up. I public speak a lot. I make a lot of errors. You know, I laugh at myself sometimes, especially with autocorrect on Twitter. You know, I'm thinking, writing, dictating something, and then I see it there. I look at it. It's there. And the next minute I hit the thing and then somebody's saying, oh, that's not correct. And then I look up and I say, oh, my gosh, that was not it. But nevertheless, so I do want to give a lot of grace. It is hard to public speak, but he just keeps stepping in it. I don't know. If I were him, I'd have his POI do it. Public or PIO, public information officer. See, just made a mistake there.
Solving this, finding out who did this, and hopefully finding Nancy as well. But the reality is simply this. We're policemen. We're here to investigate a crime. All the other side issues and the pundits and the politicians, we'll let them do their thing. We're just going to focus on solving this crime.
Okay, so there you go. That's how he ends it. We're going to focus on solving the crime, and we're not worried about the white noise or what happens. So I tried to point out some of the things, but there was one thing that I did not point out strongly enough. And he says, when we have a suspect, right? That's when, for instance, the car information, we can look back and see if there was a green, you know, Toyota or whatever it was in our categories in what we have. That tells me they do not have a suspect. So basically, if you take the totality of what he says, that is, to me, the most important thing he mentions is when we have a suspect. Look, they don't have a suspect. That's what I'm getting from his spontaneous utterances, which he makes a lot of them. And we can glean a lot. Once you get through the word salad, there are a lot of nuggets as to what he says. And so that's why I wanted to play this for you today. But again, this isn't, I'm not trying to do a pick on Sheriff Nano segment. I think it's important. I'm actually glad he speaks, because like I said, with each time he speaks, we can glean a nugget. And I think we're all looking for nuggets in this. I also wanted to quickly, and I know we don't have really much time left at all, but I wanted to quickly talk about the $500,000 spent. And I know I spent a whole session on that, or part of a segment on that, and have talked a lot about it on mainstream media as well. When you're talking about private investigators, I'm going to tell you, they do not have subpoena authority. They do not have search warrant authority. They don't have any authority. When they go to somebody's house, they're just saying, I'm a PI for the Guthrie family. Will you talk to me? That's their authority. And so it's very, very, very difficult. And I will say this, they will not solve this case. Any private PIs. The FBI and the Pima County Sheriff's Office, that task force, that is who will solve this case if and when this case is solved. And to your point, you know, that's what's going to happen. They just don't have the ability. Where PIs, I think, come in really handy are in completely cold cases where they can actually work with law enforcement because the cold case squad wants their help and they can actually work with these departments. They're also good in missing children's cases because often, and I understand this is a quote unquote missing case because we have somebody missing, but this is far more than this, that this is an abduction. This is a kidnapping. This is not where a PI is going to be helpful. But having said that, if I'm Savannah Guthrie and the Guthrie family, I want to put forth for my own peace of mind, I want to hire the best of the best to do the behind the scenes and the private investigative work to see if they can dig somewhere that hasn't been looked into. And again, when a PI finds something, the first thing they're doing, other than letting their client know, is letting law enforcement know. They're letting law enforcement know. And that can be a tedious process if they don't have the case agent's number on speed dial. And believe me, that case agent isn't giving out their number. I never gave out my number because I could not have the inundation of tips and people with information. No, 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 no. I need to go look at the tips that would come in. So, yeah, this is my favorite picture of Nancy, by the way. Christine says, and thank you again, Christine. You are just such a wonderful channel member, and we really appreciate you. I always glance at your comments, and they're always so thoughtful and respectful and good. Let's see. Thank you for playing the interview and analyzing it so well. I'm disheartened that there isn't a suspect. Thank you for your very hard work. Absolutely. And I did want to comment, too, because I know I've been pretty harsh on Sheriff Nanos. People are going to make mistakes, and the ones that are righteous quickly retract and explain. In other words, retract and get the right information out there. Sometimes a sheriff or somebody talking will not have or will have information, and then that information will change, or they will have information that they misunderstood. So to me, how he could build confidence is just going back and saying, listen, I screwed all of this up, what he did screw up, and apologizing and retracting and getting back on track. I think that would help. To Dee Dee, yeah, I do not blame the Guthrie family for hiring a PI at all, because it's giving them peace of mind that they're doing everything within their will, within their power, to try to solve this case. So I think it's very important, and I'm glad they did it, if for nothing else in their own peace of mind. But I have absolutely zero, I don't know of one case that a PI has ever solved above law enforcement that's active like this. It's just not going to happen. They don't have the resources. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the legal authority to get down to the down and gritty. All they can use are databases that are public to everybody, even though you have to pay some fees for some of them. It's still public to anybody willing to pay those fees. So anyway, thank you. Yes, I do. When I make an error, I tell you, whether it's on Twitter or something else, I try to go back. I mean, I don't try. I do go back. I own it. And typically, they actually are very small. I'll give you an example. I made one yesterday because there was a terrible stabbing that took place that was a lot like Irina Zaruska's, where a person was on the train on the MARTA and had her throat slashed, a 66-year-old woman, just horrible, by a transient, almost the exact same case scenario as Irina Zaruska, who was stabbed in North Carolina on a train by a transient. His name was DeCarlos Brown. He was found incompetent to stand trial, so hasn't been held liable or responsible for what he did to Irina. You know, I guess they're working on him until he can stand trial, which, again, the cases of getting people squared away after that sort of a designation are rare. So I'm not holding my breath, and they take forever. But in this case, I pose the question, I wonder if he will also not have to stand trial, essentially, because they'll rule that he's mentally incompetent. But where this happened was in Oakland, in Atlanta. Oakland is this big area in Atlanta. So when I saw Oakland, I was thinking California. And in my brain, I was thinking the BART, which is the system there. I've never used MARTA. I've only used BART in my brain. I just kind of computed it. And then I quickly realized I was wrong. It's the MARTA, which is in Atlanta, and it was the Oakland area of Atlanta. So I'm like, take two. The whole point of this tweet was horrible things happening to people on mass transit and not being held reliable. That was my big overarching, this is the point of the tweet. But, you know, you got to get all those details perfect. And if I don't get them perfect, you can bet I'm going to go back and get them perfect. So anyway, I just wanted to give an example. Whenever you public speak or you send out lots and lots of tweets. I think I've sent out over 50,000. You're going to make some errors, but it's about getting them right, I think, that counts. It is disheartening. They don't have a suspect. There was a really good question that came up here that I wanted to answer really quick, and then we'll call it a show. And that question was, what about in the Bureau, do we have to keep things secret? In other words, can I go home and talk to my husband about a case? The absolute answer to that is no. And I think I could be wrong, but I think some agents, particularly females, I think do a very good job with this. Sorry, I'm not sure that some males do. And I say that because that's just been my experience, that I think a lot of women are more nosy. In other words, your husband's out till all hours of the night. They're constantly on their phones. They're hiding. And women, and maybe men do this too. Maybe it was just my husband never did. But they tend to wonder, maybe, is somebody having an affair? Is somebody doing this? And so they tend to be more nosy. And this, again, is from my experience and all my male FBI friends. And so finally, they'll just crack, say, no, I'm working on this case. Leave me alone. But no, you're not allowed to talk about cases with your spouse. You're not allowed to talk about anything. It's you have an NDA, if you will, with the FBI when an active case is going on. And that's what I talk about a lot of time, how you have to compartmentalize. And believe me, when you're working violent crime, when you're working crimes against children, when you're working these sorts of crimes, you want to compartmentalize anyway. It took me, I want to say, 10 years to really be able to do it decently, where I could actually come in, grab the sick sippy cups, roll on the floor with the kids for hours, get them ready for bed, read them there, and just absolutely, other than if I got a phone call, forget I was an agent. I bet you it took me 10 years or more to be able to do that. It's really hard. But when when you're able to do that, it's a good thing mentally. And then it's obviously a good thing because then you don't have to worry about ever saying anything about your cases because you compartmentalize. All right, everyone. That's our show for today. Hopefully that makes a lot of sense. I think it's extremely important to understand what Nanos has to say. And then you can, each of you are so smart, you can sort of decipher what you're going to take and what you're not going to take in. All right, everyone. Until next time, I so appreciate you being here, hoping for justice for Nancy Guthrie and her family and for all the missing.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.